The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Easter Sunday, April 1st, 2018, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Church. Happy Easter. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of the risen Savior Christ, our King. It's good to see you this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord on Easter Sunday morning, for indeed he has risen. For indeed the grave is empty. The stone has been rolled back, not to let him out, but to let us see that he indeed is risen. For today is the day the Lord has made. May we truly rejoice and be glad. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we come to you today on an Easter Sunday morning to lift our hearts, to praise you, to thank you, to live in gratitude and thankfulness for your blessings in our lives. For Father, it is through the resurrected Christ that we have life, hope, peace, and presence. May we truly now come, worship, and praise him. In the name of the living Christ, we pray. Amen.
Rejoice. Today our reading is from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 14. And that is in the Pew Bible on page 935. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. Now in Christ is proclaimed and raised from the dead. How can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Kay. This is a non-traditional Easter text. It's left out the reading of the tomb and all of that, but it still is very traditional in that the message of the cross, the message of what Jesus did, is center to it. But it comes from Paul to address a problem in this early Corinthian church, and that problem was secularism was leaking its way into the church. It was leaking its way into the church as the philosophical thought of that day was there was no resurrection of the body, there was only the soul. And to be absent of the body was to free the soul. This was Platonic thought. And Paul was to address this secularism, because what does it mean if we decide there is no resurrection of the dead? Think about that. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then what does that do to our faith? It destroys it, doesn't it? Have you noticed how every Easter season these TV programs start coming on? They found the secrets. They found the grave. They found the stuff. You don't see it all year long until it comes around Easter to kind of distract, I guess, maybe, to call things into question. Well, the resurrection of Jesus isn't just recorded in our Bibles. And I want to encourage you this morning to remember that these aren't stories, but recordings of events. Stories would make them a little less plausible, a little less likely, but no, these are the recordings of the events. And in the Gospels, we have four different versions of the resurrection from four different people's point of view. Well, they don't agree. Well, how many of you can see the same thing and agree on its description? Can you? How many of you can watch an automobile accident standing shoulder to shoulder and tell the same exact thing that you saw? When I was in law enforcement, we come to realize that eyewitnesses were okay, but they were always going to have different stories. That means they didn't become very reliable because they had their own opinion. So each of these disciples experienced the resurrected Christ and told their versions. So when you look at it, you say, well, this one says that. Okay, let him say that. That's how he saw it. It's okay. You know, it's okay. It doesn't mean one's right, one's wrong. It's just different. So hold on to those. So now we have the Apostle Paul, who wasn't there at the resurrection, who didn't get to meet in that upper room Jesus, who didn't go see the empty tomb and the folded grave cloths, who didn't feel the earthquake shaking at early morning, who didn't see the Roman guards who were scared and afraid. And by the way, that's in the Roman history books too. They do record that. And Josephus, Antiquity of the Jews, records all of this for you. So go read it in some secular history. It's the same account that you find in the Bible. Paul wasn't there. It was sometime later that Paul, who was at that time named Saul, would meet Jesus on the road to Damascus. Paul was out killing Christians, and you read of Saul in the book of Acts at the stoning of Stephen. They cover Paul's feet so Stephen's blood doesn't get on him. That's Paul that writes this letter. It is Paul, the persecutor of the Christian church, that Jesus convicts on that road, and he becomes apostle number 12, chosen by Jesus to replace Judas. So this apostle Paul, and he makes reference to these things, he begins to talk about if there is no resurrection, then we've wasted our breath. I wasn't there for it, but I believe it. I didn't see the holes in his hands. He had already ascended. I didn't get to put my hand in the spear wound, but I believe it. And Jesus actually says in the Gospel of John to Thomas, blessed are those who see and believe, but more blessed are those who haven't saw and yet believe. That's us. It's wonderful to read the story about how the disciples experienced the resurrected Christ. But it's been a little while since that event, hasn't it? And for us, we are more like Paul, who believe after the resurrection. And I want you to look at one passage of script, one part of this passage this morning with me, and I want you to see what's going on here. And it is, of course, 15, and it's begins at verse 3. Paul says to the church at Corinth, "For I handed on to you." I handed on to you. How many of you have ever done a relay race, ran a relay race, been in a relay race? Come on, raise your hands up because I need you this morning. I'm going to pick on you. You're in trouble now. Not really. How many of you were number two in a three-person relay race? How many of you were number two in a three-person relay? You were the middleman, woman. Come on, somebody had to be number two. Okay, we got a couple back. Were you Bill? Okay. The number two person has the worst job in the whole team. The number two person in a relay race has to both get the hand off while running ahead, not looking back, with their hand at the right place at the right time while they're coming up to speed. And then they've got to tuck the baton. They got to get the baton ready. And they still got to concentrate on running. How many of us is going to fall down right about then? You know, I'm going to be back here. And I might even run over somebody else on the track, you know. And then you've got to think about, you've got to make a handoff. So you've got to run that other person down. This is the image that Paul wants you to see. Paul often uses sports images, running a race, running this, doing that, a race of endurance. Paul often uses that, and he gives us that image right here that has handed to me, that somebody else had possession of, something that they had that they gave to me. You see, that's how we receive it, isn't it? Even our Bible is written to people we didn't know, but has been handed over and handed down to us. Somebody told you about Jesus. It didn't just become a blip on the map. Maybe several people told you, but at some point, why are you here? Somebody handed it down. Somebody shared it with you. Somebody witnessed it with you. Somebody said, come, go. Somebody has given you the baton. And Paul says, I gave you what had been handed to me, and you took it from me. Paul was the middleman in the relay. Have any of you been to one of these business meetings where you have to give, you get 1 minute, and you get to give them a decision? How many of you have been to those? You get a minute to tell them who you are and what you do. At the beginning, how many of you have been to those? Come on, you can raise your hand. Yeah, you're not voting on anything. You're just confessing. I went to one of those one time as a pastor. And I thought, you know, how am I going to introduce myself? How do you describe what you do as a pastor? So they said, okay, Jimmy, it's your turn. Could you tell us a little bit about what you do? I said, well, I want to tell you I work for a great supply company and I'm in middle management. I'm the baton man in the middle. I kind of dig it in and I give it out. You know, and they looked at me really funny. I said, I have unlimited resources and unlimited needs around me and I'm in middle management. That's my job. After the meeting, they won't know, what company do you work for? I said, it's the G-O-D company. And they really looked at me. It was just too much fun. They were wanting my business cards, and I was handing them out. Indian Trail United Methodist Church. Pastor, you know. And they were going, you're a pastor? I bet my cards made good bookmarks or leveled up a table for lunch. You know, or something like that, you know. So Paul was saying, I'm in middle management. I'm the least. I shouldn't be, but I'm going to give you what was given to me. So let's find out what he gave them. It's what we need today. And I have received that Christ died for our sins. That was the first thing that Paul said, I received. Is that Christ died for my sins. I am reconciled, sanctified, and justified, not by what I do, but by accepting what he did. Folks, you cannot be good enough. You can't check off enough boxes. You can't donate enough goodness. You can't work at enough shelters. You can't give away enough stuff to get into heaven. You got to have accepted Jesus Christ. That's a handoff. You have to accept what Christ did. He said, the first thing that I got was the fact that Jesus died for my sins. I don't know about you, but I'm resting in that this morning. I'm claiming that for myself this morning. And I hope on an Easter Sunday morning, you are too. That the first thing Paul says is he died for my sins. Let that soak in for a minute. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he loves us. He died for our sins. And Paul backs that up. Not only did he die for my sins, but the scriptures promised he would. Jesus was the fulfillment of God's promise. And that he was buried. He died. He just didn't faint, swan, pass out. He died. He was buried. And that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures handed on, passed on. The scriptures foretold it. Jesus fulfilled it. And he was raised from the dead. He is risen. Unique to our claim as Christians in the world today is a resurrected Savior. Unique to our claim of religion in the world today is a resurrected living Lord and the presence of a Holy Spirit, a gift of the risen Lord. On this Easter Sunday, may you know these three things: Jesus alive, buried, and resurrected. And may we receive the handoff, and may we give it off, that Christ is alive, that he died for our sins, and he reigns forever. He will come again to receive us unto himself. But until then, he is with us. May we not keep the baton, but may we keep the presence, the gift, and the relationship of the one who gave it to us and the one to whom we pass it. For it's in those personal, caring relationships. When you watch these relay runners, you'll notice that it's almost as if the one in front can sense the one behind. It's as if there's a connection that can't be seen. And the running times, that first runner is peaking their speed as that second runner is coming up to meet it. And each relay runner gets faster. They are picked to be in sequential speeds. And they reach and they know and they're certain as that baton is tapped into that hand, firm and sure. And the hand closes around it, sure of it being released. Faith has handed down one person to one person, one at a time. We are his hands and feet. May we emulate the Apostle Paul and share what we have received. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for just a minute. On this Easter Sunday morning, may we renew in our hearts that he is risen. May we renew in our hearts on this Easter Sunday morning that what we have received in grace, handed down and passed on in faith, that has made us, changed us, and enriched our hearts and lives, that we could hand off to someone we know, to give that witness of caring and compassion. If the Apostle Paul took what he received and gave it to them, and they received it, and the Scripture says, and they stood firmly in it. Maybe it would change our families, our communities, and maybe start a little revival to change the world one person at a time. Well, Pastor, that's an awful big goal, isn't it? If that ain't your goal, then you need a bigger God. One with a capital G. For with God all things are possible. Father, may in our hearts, as we renew our walk with you today, at the close of this season of Lent, as we've reflected, as we have prayed, as we have fasted, may we be renewed in you and you in us. Renew the handoff that we have received and renew our
willingness to share it with others. On this Easter Sunday, may we know the risen Savior anew. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.